This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks.
We may have some new listeners out to this episode, because we've actually taken the plunge and started a little bit of advertising.
We started advertising on the webcomic Red String, which we both started from the very beginning and read all the way through once we discovered it, and are absolutely in love with it.
Such an awesome comic strip. I started reading it the one day. I was
Gina
bored
Biggs,
at home.
You kick butt.
And I started flipping through this, and I'm like, I don't know if I'll like this. This is kind of melodramatic. And then I just got sucked in.
Yep.
And I'm reading this and reading this, and I'm like, I'm this kind of, you know, butch, hardcore, lesbian type person. I don't go for, like, this drama stuff. And just completely
sucked in. Did you have to have a box of tissues next to
me? I did. I'm like, oh my God. So then Sheila comes home from work. She's like, oh, what did you do all day? I'm like, I read this comic. You really have to check it out. Trust me. Give it 20 pages. You'll be sucked into it. And she did the same thing. She's like, I can't believe I'm reading this, but it's so good.
I know. The artwork's great. The story is great.
Yeah.
It is food-related because one of the characters' parents owns a restaurant.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that caught my attention right away. So if you found us via the link on Red String, welcome.
Thank you very much for checking us out.
Yes. And I'm going to try to direct most of our advertising to webcomics, because I think that's where we're going to find people who have kind of a similar interest in what we do.
Yeah.
So if you happen to have found us through another webcomic, welcome. Glad to have you. Don't forget, you can get all of our backlog of episodes at podbean.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes only keeps, I think, up to 20 episodes at a pop, though, so you're not going to see everything. If you want to go all the way back to the beginning, go check it out. We do re-release episodes on iTunes once in a while, mostly when we haven't had a chance to record, because we're naughty. And we'll take something from the back and bump it up to the top just for people who've missed it.
Now, it'll usually be denoted as rerun.
Yes, we'll let you know. And we, right now, are in a particular stage of our life where we want to continue to do the podcast, and we're going to continue, but we can't guarantee it's going to be every week. It's probably going to be 3 out of every 4 weeks, because our schedules are a little wacky.
Yeah.
I work earlier than I normally work now, so I don't always have a chance to go out to lunch with Sheila like we used to. I used to start a later shift, and we have a limited amount of time off together.
Yeah.
So it's not that we don't have time to record, because we can do that in the evenings, but we don't always have time to go eat together.
Right.
So since our time's kind of at a premium, we're going to do our best to try to record a bunch of episodes and release them one at a time, but we may hit a block with where real life interferes, and we have to rerun something or just have a gap, and then we'll catch up. We're not abandoning you guys. Don't panic if you don't see an episode go up.
If we skip a week, we'll be back soon.
Yes.
We're just trying to make sure we have enough material for a good episode. We don't want to just cobble together.
Yeah, we don't want to half-ass it.
A bunch of crap.
Or as your mom says, slather-ass it.
Exactly.
Love that phrase.
It's a great word.
Yes, but we do have some exciting things planned. We still have a local pizza episode we're going to do. We have a truck stop episode we're going to do with dining while traveling. We are going to go be tourists in Toronto very soon, and we're going to do at least one episode about that. That may turn into a full-blown foodgasm, mini foodgasm, I don't know. And then in May, we are going to Florida.
Woo!
We're going to go to
Disney
World. God help us. We're going with my family. It's like a big family trip kind of thing. We'll be in Orlando, so that may also turn into a foodgasm.
Yeah.
We'll see. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up on the horizon. We're really excited. We think 2011 is going to be a good year for ZFC. So definitely hang out and stick with us.
And this episode is going to be about the new Oshimbo that we bought. And more sushi.
This is like our 20th sushi episode,
But it's so delicious.
Yeah. Well, we've been eating a particular type of sushi all year, and then we went back to what we're used to having, and the difference was just striking.
We've been eating the all-you-can-eat sushi, which is good. Decent, it's palatable, it's fast, it's affordable.
It's like the Quiznos of sushi. I'm not going to insult it and say it's the McDonald's of sushi, because it's not. But it's like the Quiznos of sushi.
So we went to this new place. Well, it's been there for
a little while. Yeah.
It's called Ichiban, and it's on Simcoe Street in Oshawa. Up towards Taunton.
Yes, it's 5-1180 Simcoe Street, North Oshawa, Ontario, L1G4W8. Their phone number is 905-240-3199. Yes, I'm reading off the takeout menu.
I bet all the places probably wish that we'd do that.
I know.
But I do always make sure and put the information with the link. But anyway.
Yeah.
And this is the keg of sushi places.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more expensive, but the quality is really, really good.
Now, I want to say this is a chain, and there's a couple other ones in the Durham region as well, but this is not chain in a bad word.
Yeah.
This is chain in a good way. So it's in a little strip mall along Simcoe Street. It's this section of Oshawa, when you drive down Simcoe, there's all these little mini strips where there'll be 7 or 8 storefronts in like a block, and then the 7 or 8 more like storefronts. Then you'll run into a grocery store, and then 7 or 8 more of these little stores in a strip. And this one happens to be on the same in the same area as the Crooked Uncle.
Yeah.
Which I think we've mentioned before.
I think so. I don't know if we reviewed it or not.
I don't think
we did.
But
they do have NTM.
Yes. And pretty good wings. So it's easy to find. There's plentiful parking. I mean, we were there during lunchtime and we were still able to find a couple parking spaces, so it wasn't a big deal.
And just as a point of trivia, Ichiban is number one. It's like the premier sushi house.
Yes, that's what Ichiban means in Japanese.
Right.
So we walk in, and the outside looks like an average little strip area, strip mall. Inside is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It reminds me of walking into Asian up on Taunton.
Yeah.
Because the outside, you don't think you're walking into someplace halfway decent. You walk in and everything's just gorgeous.
There's like tablecloths and nice cutlery and...
Well actually wooden chopsticks.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a nice little place when you walk inside. It feels very warm and inviting as soon as you're in. We walked in a couple weeks ago to get a menu just to check it out. And as soon as Sheila walked in, they like yelled something at her. And she's like,
It's like a traditional Japanese greeting. I can't rattle off what it is, but... Everybody runs to greet you in a traditional sushi house, and that's what they did.
Yes, and they did it again today when we walked in. So, but this time we were actually staying, not getting a menu.
Right. And we ended up getting, they do takeout, they do catering. They have lunch specials, they have dinner specials. So
they have a huge menu, to be honest.
Yeah. We got for an appetizer a spider roll, because we haven't had one in a while. That's the soft shell crab roll. And it was... to die for.
Fantastic.
It was amazing.
They do their rolls that you can do them, the specialty rolls at least, as 5 pieces or 8 pieces. We got a 5-piece because it was going to be just an appetizer. We didn't want like a whole lot.
Yeah.
The spider roll was very reasonably priced. The 5-piece was $6.95. The 8-piece is $11.95. So
yeah.
It was just perfect.
We had actually ended up spending the same amount that we would have spent at one of the all-you-can-eat places.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was just comfortably full. I mean, obviously, there's a benefit and a disadvantage to everything, right? The benefit of the all-you-can-eat places is there's wide variety. The disadvantage is the quality is good, but it's not excellent.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, again...
With this is definitely quality over quantity.
Exactly. Well, you go to an all-you-can-eat place, and we love Tokushima. We love Gobo Leaf. Please don't mistake us and think we don't like them. You go there when you don't know what you want. You're not really familiar with the cuisine and you want to sample a wide variety, or you're with a large group of people and you have a few people in the party that just don't like sushi, but they like the cooked foods, but they're not sure what they like. People whose preferences for Asian food run to the not-so-adventurous.
Right.
So that they totally have their place in the culinary food chain. I love them. I'm not going to stop going there. But when you go to Ichiban, you're going to go with people who know they like sushi and they know what they want.
Yeah.
Or people who, even though they don't like sushi, they really like Asian cuisine. So they're going to be happy getting a teriyaki box. Or they're going to be happy going for some bulgogi or something like that.
Yeah. They have plenty of cooked things, too.
Oh, yes.
Because they have the different teriyakis. They have, looks like they have noodle bowls and stuff, too.
A lot of Korean food, because they are kind of a Korean-Japanese thing.
Exactly. So we got the spider roll. That was really good as an appetizer. Mm-hmm. And then we also each ordered the sushi and sashimi lunch specials, which is a lunch box, which we're used to getting from Ogawa in Morgantown, where it has a wide variety of little things, and it comes with soup and salad usually.
And it comes in an adorable little box with all the little divisions in it. And it's cute when you look at it.
Yeah. The presentation on this was actually really, really awesome too. They had like the little carrot flour and stuff like that. So
lunch, by the way, is served Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. So just keep that in mind. If you show up after 4 p.m., you're not going to be able to order off the lunch menu.
But it does actually run a little bit later than
most
lunch places.
Most
usually stop at like 2, maybe 3, right?
Yeah.
So, and I hadn't had sashimi in so long, I'd forgotten how good it was. And the knife skills on the person back there, we didn't see him.
Yeah.
We should have actually walked to the back and saw if they had like a bar, if we could see him working.
Yeah.
Amazing. Because it was so tender, so soft. so delicious. The texture was so fine. It was just melt in your mouth, buttery.
And we actually had to sit back and reminisce and think of the last time that Sheila had sashimi, and that was at Daikoku. I think it was the second time or third time I ever had sushi. We got the sushi boat, and the top deck was all sashimi, and then when you lifted the deck off, the rolls were in the
cargo
hold. The cargo hold, yeah. It had literally been almost 8 years since she's had sashimi. I've ordered it a few times since then, but it's been a while, I think, since I've even had it. It has to have at least been a couple years.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, the box.
Awesome.
First you get miso.
And the miso salad was really good. It was like extra flavorful or something.
It wasn't salty either.
Yeah.
It was good.
I don't know if it was like extra of the dashi, shredded up little fish flakes in the boiling water. I don't know if they like added extra fish to it or something.
I don't know, but the miso was, was good. It wasn't too hot. It was the perfect like drinkable
temperature. Yep.
Because it comes without a spoon. You just drink it out of the bowl. We had tea with it. We always get tea though when we go to a sushi place unless we get sake.
Although I have proposed that we go back
And
because they have Sapporo on tap, so I'm thinking we should get a pitcher and a boat.
We've never had draft Sapporo before, so that is definitely tempting. They had a pretty impressive alcohol menu, too.
They had an amazing selection. They had Kirin, they had Asahi, they had Sapporo. And then they had, like, three or four different kinds of sake and
wine. They had a good wine selection. They even had Riesling on the wine menu, which... It kind of surprised me on one hand. The other hand, I thought, wow, Riesling, because it's got that sweet dry thing going on, would probably
go really well.
Killer with sushi.
Yeah.
I think that would be an awesome pairing. I'd love to try that sometime at home.
Yeah.
You get your miso, you drink it. Excellent miso. It came with a little bowl of green salad. Mm. And you get this every time you go out to a sushi place and you get the box lunch.
It's like this ginger salad dressing.
But it wasn't a creamy dressing. Usually we have it, it's like a creamy ginger dressing. And this was more of a vinaigrette ginger dressing. And it was great.
It may be
my favorite ginger dressing. Sheila's not big on the ginger dressing salads when we get them. I really enjoy them. And this one was a special treat for me. I really liked it.
I loved it. I mean, well, often whenever you get it, it's kind of like haphazardly put together because the salad is an afterthought where the lettuce is still wet. And the salad dressing may be kind of creamy, but then it gets watered down by the wet lettuce.
Yeah.
Whereas this was perfect.
Yes, it was great. So then we're eating, and it was dead there Monday afternoon.
We were the first people there.
Yeah, we got there when they opened. So the guy comes around the corner, and he puts his little bowl of cold noodles down, and he says, "Oh, it's on the house. It's a cold Korean noodle dish for you to try." Well, okay, this has happened to us before when we've gone to sushi places like Ogawa. Just randomly, they bring something out and say, "Oh, try this. You might like it."
Exactly. I think they're buying time while the chef's doing their thing, but I'm okay with that.
Because our first thing we ordered was a spider roll, and we wanted it for an appetizer. So I think they were like, "Oh crap, we have to fry the crab." So because they have to fry it and let it cool before they can actually wrap it. So maybe we shouldn't have done that to them in retrospect. So this little dish, it was they looked like thick glass noodles.
Yeah.
And it had peppers sliced up in it and a couple pieces of like a pickled onion. And it had like a peppery taste to it, but not an overpowering peppery taste. It wasn't a vinegared taste to it. It was almost like a sweet taste, but it wasn't like sweet.
It was a really well-balanced dish.
Because
it had
great.
Like a little bit of sesame oil. It had a little bit of spice. It had a little bit of tang from the vinegar. So it was a really, really nicely balanced dish.
It was.
And then he rolls out with like this bowl of edamame. And I'm like, wow, you got all kinds of extra stuff back there.
Yeah, so he brought out a little bowl of edamame for us, too, to have while we ate our spider roll when that came out. And we had the noodles we were eating. But the noodle dish, I want to find out the next time we go exactly what it's called, because I want to order it again. It was, I think, on a hot summer day,
when
you go in for, like, a light sushi lunch, having that as an appetizer would be the perfect meal.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Yes.
And, like, even the edamame, it seemed...
Plumper.
Or a plumper, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They were the little... beans inside were a bigger, plumper.
And they were steamed just right. They weren't mushy, but they weren't still kind of raw. It was just perfect. So we have all of this. At this point, we're already starting to get a little bit full. We're like, oh, this is a lot of food. And the spider roll was nice because some places when you go and get a specialty roll, they do the fat rolls
gigantic,
that are thinly sliced. This was the narrow roll that was a little thickly sliced like a normal roll would be, like a California roll. And it's so much easier to eat when they do that. And I love specialty rolls, but when they do the thick roll with the slice, huge slice.
Yeah. It's like as big as your forearm.
And it falls apart when you try to eat it, and you have to eat it in two bites. But this was just, you know, pop a piece in your mouth and go. The spider roll, what did you think?
It was amazing. And I had the big claw.
Yes.
Well, the big little claw, I guess.
It, perfect texture, perfect taste, balance, a little bit of sweetness to it from the sauce they put on it, the Ichiban sauce.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been happier with the spider roll.
Yeah.
And we haven't had one of those in like over a year.
Yeah.
I think the last one was in Aurelia, maybe?
Or was probably. It... Yeah, because a lot of the all-you-can-eat places, that's only on the dinner menu. We mm-hmm. always go for lunch. So.
Exactly. So then the boxes come out, and they were big.
Let's start at the top. On the left-hand side, there was a California roll, and then in the middle, there was this beautiful little mound of white rice with black sesame seeds on it. On the right-hand side, there was the wonderful fried tofu tempura with, like, a teriyaki sauce on it. Oh,
so
good.
Two giant pieces of that, so...
You had to pretty much cut it in half with your chopsticks and eat it mm-hmm. like that. Then was the sushi.
There were four pieces of nigiri. There was salmon. There was tuna. There was it mackerel was the darker
yeah,
white
so.
One? And there was shrimp. You know what? I did take a picture of it with my phone.
Let's just take a look at it.
Because I thought there maybe was five, and I don't want to get it wrong. Dial it up here on my phone. Butterfish.
Yeah.
Mackerel, butterfish, tuna, salmon, and shrimp.
Yeah.
So there were five pieces of nigiri, which that's a pretty hearty serving of nigiri, to be honest. And then when we went to the other side of it, because there were only two boxes on the bottom side, and we're going to put the picture on the website for you to check out, because this is probably the best example we've had of sushi box in a long time, since we've started doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And we've talked about them so much, this is a good chance for people who listen to check it out and be like, oh, that's what they're talking about.
Right.
Unless you're from Japan or China or Korea, and then you're going to be like, girls, just start talking about Western stuff, because that's what we're listening for. Which we've looked at our stats on Podbean, and we do have a large number of people from Asian countries that listen to us, which is weird. We're like, do you guys want to hear us talk about Western stuff or Eastern stuff? We don't know, but we're going to do
some... If you have some input, please email us at zweifatchicks@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you. It doesn't matter if your English is good or not. Don't worry, our English isn't very good, and we're native speakers. So, but yeah, if you guys have anything you want us to talk about or anything myths you want us to clear up, we'd be happy to do it. And we're going to do some more Western episodes very soon.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the right side of the box. That's where the sashimi was.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was two pieces each of salmon, tuna.
Three pieces of salmon.
Oh, you're right.
Because there was like a bonus piece of salmon.
Yeah.
Three pieces of salmon, two of tuna, and then two of, I think, mackerel.
Yeah, and it was so soft, so tender.
Buttery soft, perfectly cut. And I love tuna, and I love salmon as sushi and sashimi. I'm usually not really all that hot on mackerel. Mm. I like it. It's there. I'll eat it. But I usually don't order it.
Sometimes when you get it, it's like...
It's tough.
Kind of tough. And it's like kind of fishy.
Oh, this was perfect.
And this was amazing.
It's probably the best I've ever had.
Yeah.
It just... That was the first piece I pulled out of the box to eat. Because I thought, well, I'm going to start with the thing I like least.
Right.
So if it's not so good, I'll get it over
treat.
With. Exactly. And I pop it in my mouth. The same time Sheila's popping it, whatever, in her mouth.
It
we both
salmon.
Made this face. We're like, oh my God, it's so
it
soft.
It was the face of bliss.
Yes. And the sashimi was slightly thickly cut for sashimi. Usually it's a little bit thinner.
But it was so tender, you didn't care.
Exactly. And the nigiri was actually very thinly cut.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they couldn't cut it thin. They reversed it.
Yeah.
But it played well on the nigiri with the rice. It was like a nice match.
Yeah.
So.
It seemed like it was the perfect amount for a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, everything in the box was great. Oh.
And then he offered us dessert, and we're like, no.
The California rolls also were very, very good for California rolls. I mean, that's something that, it's there. It's almost like garnish anymore. You just eat it.
The thing that struck me, too, was that the rice was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They prepared their rice perfectly. It wasn't smushed, and it wasn't too packed down. It wasn't fly apart as soon as you pick it up. It fell apart gently in your mouth when you ate it.
Yeah.
Which is when it's supposed to fall apart.
Yeah.
You know? With very little effort.
And that's one of the things that they sacrifice at the all-you-can-eat places, because they have to work so quickly. Sometimes when you get nigiri, it's not packed very well. The only thing we didn't get this time that we usually try out right away is we didn't order any tamago.
Right.
That's because we wanted to go with the spider roll instead for something different. Which, the next trip back, we will definitely check out their tamago.
Yeah. I say we get a boat.
Get a boat. Sail a
get
boat.
Get a boat and a pitcher.
Sail a boat on a pitcher.
Yes.
So overall, we are thoroughly impressed with Ichiban. It's really put back into perspective for us what we like about sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start splitting our trips out for sushi up a little more evenly between places like Ichiban or Ichiban itself and the all-you-can-eat places, because it's great to go out and get the variety and eat your face off. But at the same time,
sometimes it's nice.
Oh, I miss that quality.
Well, and to order kind of exactly what you want,
mm-hmm.
because you're not having to sacrifice the, this is only on the lunch menu, this is only on the dinner menu.
Yeah.
You know, you get access to the entire menu if you're willing to pay a little bit more for it.
And one of the things that I know I'm a little bit sketchy on is I've never really had Korean food.
Right.
And it's
we
everywhere.
Still have to try it.
And I think this is the place for us to check it out. They've got a Korean menu. They've got, it looks like a little bit of everything on there. I think we'd really be steered right by checking it out there. Maybe get a sushi appetizer and then do that for dinner some night. And they also started an all-you-can-eat menu, but it's not an all-you-can-eat menu like the other places. It's you order for how many people are going to be there, and it comes with a set number of things on it, and you get all you can eat of those.
Yeah.
I would definitely check that out with a couple people as well.
Yeah.
It's the same deal going that they had in Aurelia at
the Fresh Buffet.
Yeah, the Fresh Buffet at the Chinese place across the street from us.
Yeah.
Where you order a certain number for the buffet, and that's what you get all you can eat of.
Yeah, the at Ace Chinese Food.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But this place gets two hearty thumbs up. The
Definitely.
Only thing we're not sure on is they have something called the golf menu, but it's in Korean. And it's a course, 2 to 3 servings. It's course one is $44.95. Course two is $89.95, but I think that's for up to 5 people. And course three is up to 8 people, and it's $119.95.
But we have no idea what it is.
No.
Because we don't read Korean.
No, so we will investigate the next time we go back, because we're going to go back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the party trays, too. They have a nice little takeout menu of party trays. They run anywhere from $29.95 all the way up to $84.95. They've got a good mix of, you can just do sashimi, or you can do sushi, or you can do a sushi-sashimi mix. They do the Sakura Matsuri, which is sashimi, nigiri, and sakimaki. They try to get you whatever you want on the tray, pretty much, it looks like.
It's funny, because Sakura is cherry blossom.
Nice.
So
it's,
I guess
probably,
it's like a,
well, if it looks
a fancy
like,
name for it.
I was like, if it looks like the picture down there, it does kind of look
It does kind of look like a cherry blossom, actually.
So their prices are competitive with all of the other places we've seen around here that do takeout party trays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the catch on this is if you pay in cash, you get 10% off of your takeout order.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go get a $44.95 party tray, which is the medium tray, it's 40 pieces depending what you order. You pay cash, it's only going to be $40. $40 for 40 pieces of sushi.
Stop at a bank machine on the way. Save yourself a couple bucks.
And it pretty much, it comes out to being, they pretty much cover the taxes a little bit on top. Or a little bit under. But still, go for it. So, we've waxed philosophic on Ichiban here for a while.
Next up we have for this episode, we have a new issue of Oishimbo a la carte. And it's the fish sushi and sashimi. What did you think?
Wow.
That's a lot of information.
It's a big one. There's a lot of stuff in it. It's not a primer for sushi. If you don't know anything about sushi, don't expect this to teach the basics to you. If you want to know the basics, go back and listen to our episode on sushi, actually.
Yeah. This one actually is more about the fish and the building blocks to making sushi.
Yeah.
As far as the fish go.
Yes. It's an assumption that the reader knows something about the topic going into it. Those are the I guess you'd call them the chapters that they picked to put in this compilation.
Right.
It's really informative, very well done. The basic premise of it, in case you haven't heard any of the other episodes about the Oishinbo series that we've done, is the main character, he works for one newspaper, and he's helping to write an article about the ultimate menu, and they're competing with another newspaper that's writing an article for the supreme menu, and they're always adding dishes to the menu, and the two newspapers compete, and his father, with whom he does not get along with at all, is working on the side consulting for the competing newspaper for the supreme menu.
Right.
And a lot of in this one especially, more so I think than the other ones we've read, it's a lot of chapters with him and his father competing.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot more competition.
Yeah.
For that. And it talks about the freshness of fish. And yes, it's good to have the freshest fish possible, but this one fellow has an aquarium, and the fish have been swimming around there for 5 days, and they haven't eaten, so they don't taste as good as one that was captured, killed on the spot by the fishermen, and toted back in ice to be prepared.
Yeah.
Because that fish, even though it was already dead, instead of being killed by the chef in the kitchen,
had a higher fat content.
Yeah. And it was less tired. You know?
And it probably, the flavor from the natural environment was probably still there too, whereas sitting in the aquarium for 5 days, it purges everything. It's just like when you purge crawdads.
Yeah, some people do that. They put them in, they keep changing the water.
To rinse everything out. which is a legitimate culinary technique. And for some creatures, you do need to do that, but you don't need to do that for fish.
Because you've got them anyway. So,
and
with the crawdads, it's so that they get rid of everything that they have in their system. Whereas with the fish, you just kind of rip that out anyway.
Not necessarily, though.
That's true. There is a lot of enteral cooking.
Yeah.
In Japan, so.
And especially with those little what were they called? Shintos?
Yeah, yeah. Shinkos.
Shinkos. The little shinko fish, which was another chapter in here. They talked about these little tiny fish. The little shinkos, the episode on them, or I'm sorry, not episode, the chapter on them, they're little tiny fish. They're the same as what a bigger fish would be for regular sushi, but they're so little you can't do much with them, so they only have a couple uses.
I'm wondering if shinko is like a word for like minnow or baby fish, because they're not necessarily
like 4 inches.
Two. The shinkos were 2 inches, because the next size up was something called something else.
Okay.
And they were 4 inches, but they were talking about how like you can get the shinko of a particular fish and use it in this way.
Yeah, and that chapter, it reminded me of,
there it is.
Yeah, there's the little shinko guy in the page. Kohata, when they're about 4 inches long. Yeah. So the shinkos are even tinier, but the focus of the one chapter was about how the one type of shinko they were using for the one fish isn't supposed to be good for sushi. Nobody really uses it for that. The other shinko for the other fishes was the sought after one, but the one fellow started making sushi out of them because he does particular things to it where he makes sure he pulls the bones out and he fillets them, or he splits them apart, butterflies them pretty much.
Yeah.
So you get the whole fish experience, I guess,
yeah,
on the nigiri.
Well, both fillets are still attached, right?
Yeah.
He just pulls out the spine and the ribs, and it's very time consuming for him to do so.
Which is why he says, you know, it's still an expensive dish to make because I have to work with it so much, but the actual materials are next to nothing. And he had this big basket of sushi shinko, and he's like, look at this whole basket costs 500 yen, which is next to nothing. Even at the time when this article was written, that's still really cheap.
Yeah.
And it made me think of all things of chicken wings.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking, the whole point of that chapter was to prove to the main character, because he was having like a crisis of faith, to prove that real cooking and culinary skill is when you take something that wouldn't necessarily take good by itself and you make it into something delicious. Mm. I think of chicken wings, how for years those were considered the garbage part of the chicken.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one lady in a bar one night is like, hey, let's try this. And she makes it into what is probably one of the most sought after bar foods in North America.
It's certainly one of the most popular bar foods in North America.
Yeah. And how many other dishes have come out of the garbage part of the animal?
Well, monkfish.
Yeah.
I mean, that was considered to be a garbage fish. That was like peasant's food. And then all of a sudden, one person takes it and does something highfalutin with it, and all of a sudden it becomes all the rage.
Or
how many 1920s slang words can I fit into one sentence?
or a lot of southern food, which we still have to get into Toronto to the one library and check out that one journal that had the special edition on so the history of southern cooking. But look at a lot of southern food and how it came out of what was considered the garbage parts that the slaves were given, and they turned it into just awesome dishes.
Yeah, they already had the know-how from where they were living in Africa, the nose-to-tail dining, you know, in its original format, and they made some tasty, delicious things with it.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the very art of stewing and braising is meant to take tough pieces that were not considered the ideal cuts of an animal and reduce them down into something that isn't just edible, but it's downright delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of feeds into the same mentality. So that, I thought, was probably one of the coolest parts of this book.
Because food is, we're beyond the point where food's just nourishment for the body. It's nourishment for our emotions, our mental health.
But it also makes me wonder if we're going to see a stagnation and culinary evolution, because we've hit a point where there aren't garbage pieces anymore. We're not adapting based on necessity. Now we're adapting out of creativity. And I don't think we're going to see the same giant genres erupting out of certain cultures anymore, because they don't need to. Because
actually,
if you want something, you could just go buy it.
Yeah. You buy the chicken breast now. You don't have to buy the whole chicken.
Or I should say, in Western civilization, at least, we're probably going to see that. Whereas in other parts of the world, where they are not afflicted with our success, because it is an affliction at this point. Our prosperity.
Yeah.
It is an affliction now. We can get whatever we want out of season. We're not forced to cook with the seasons anymore. But they still have to struggle and use what they have. I think we're going to see we'll be dead by then, but over the next 100 years, we'll see huge growths in their cuisine, whereas ours is probably going to stagnate, except for the crazy geniuses that have a restaurant and get paid a lot of money to be on TV.
Well, two things to add to that. Jill Strobel is actually working on some nose-to-tail dining articles. She's the one that does the medieval cooking blog.
Awesome.
So you can check that out. And two, there's, ever since we got to, like, what, the 1970s, ethnic food from different areas of the globe has been hot. Mm-hmm. But I predict that it'll become even more so, because right now it seems like Indian food is trendy. I think we're actually going to see a rise in Caribbean food. Mm-hmm. Because they do stuff like the oxtail soup, you know, where it's not actually the tail, I think it's like the ribs or something that they boil to make the soup. But it's, the bones give things flavor, and often with boneless everything, you're missing out on a lot.
You miss out on everything, exactly. Yeah. So, that whole chapter just made me really think. More than most anything I've been reading lately has made me think, especially about food and where we're going with it. And what's important within it.
Yeah.
And it made me realize also how important it is to go back and capture, if it's your culture or a culture that you're interested in, and capture the roots and learn the basics of those cooking, or that cooking, because that's probably where the garbage food adaption started.
Yeah.
So, I know usually we go through these books chapter by chapter, but I just was so excited about that. I think that's
had to
enough.
Blurt that out.
That's enough to talk about instead of just spoiling the whole book. The other thing that I know we both talked about after we read it was the chapter on the salmon sashimi.
Oh, yes. The parasites thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that everybody who tries sushi for the first time, you're always worried about it.
Or whenever you mention sushi to people that don't like sushi, that's the first thing they bring up. You're going to get worms.
And it is, one, in North America, all sushi is frozen.
Yeah.
Before you
the
get it.
The fish that you get that they make sushi out of is flash frozen, both for your protection and for your enjoyment.
Yeah.
Because when they flash freeze it on the boat, they lock in the flavor. And two, as soon as it goes below a certain temperature for a certain amount of hours, anything that's in there that shouldn't be there is gone.
Yeah, it doesn't go dormant. It can't survive beyond that point. That's the nice thing about food, is taking it to extremes of temperature, either high or low, kills everything in there that might hurt us.
Yeah.
And they bring up, the one fellow serves a sushi dish, a sashimi dish, actually, that's...
It's a fresh sushi dish, which I always heard our friend Patrick talk about fresh sushi in California, and I was like, I don't know about all that. That's kind of freaking me out.
In theory, a very skilled sushi chef should know when a fish looks okay and when a fish is kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
And when they talk about slicing the sashimi thin and examining it, I totally get that. Because one of the techniques they used in the book is they sliced it super thin, they examined it with a microscope, which was a little bit out there.
Yeah.
And then they actually examined it with a jeweler's loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeweler's loop.
The little tiny thing that they cram into their eye and look through.
They had it between glass pressed thin, and they were examining it for any indications of eggs or larvae or anything like that. So his was completely safe. Granted, there's no such thing as 100%, but nonetheless, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
And I think that was when I was in China and I was offered sushi a few times there, I was a little hesitant to take it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know much about it. And my thought was, if I'm going to catch anything from anything raw, it's probably going to be here where I'm like 10 hours from the coast.
Yeah.
And they're like, here, try this sushi. So
they're like, no, thank you.
Yes. But now that I've come home and since then read up on it, I feel completely safe eating it. I'm sure if I have a tapeworm, which I don't, but if I did, it would have come from something else, probably not eating sushi.
Right.
But it's an interesting chapter to read, and I think anybody who reads that, they should be put at ease.
Yeah.
They should realize,
it wasn't a scare you chapter. It was a, this is the dangers, this is what you can do to minimize the dangers or cancel them out altogether.
I put it in the same category as trichinosis and rare pork.
Yeah.
We haven't had a case of trichinosis in commercial pork in like 30 or 40 years. I think I'm okay to eat my pork at 140 degrees. Trichinosis is supposed to be killed at 137 degrees anyway, so
exactly. There's
no reason to cook it until it's jerky anymore. So I put it in the same category.
That's a very good analogy. I like it.
Yes. Trichinosis scares the heck out of me. I mean,
trichinosis is like
bad.
It's treatable, right? But
I don't know if you let it go. If I think if you let it go too long, it's not treatable anymore. It's like rabies.
Right.
Well, not like rabies. Totally different symptoms and badness. But nonetheless, it's a scary kind of thing. And for years, after they told us about trichinosis in school, I was like afraid to eat pork.
Yeah.
But the only time I would eat it willingly without really putting up a fight was when my parents grilled it, and I saw it being, like, assaulted by the flames on the grill, and I'm like, yeah, everything's dead in it. It's safe now, you know? Like, flame touched means safe.
Yes. So, as opposed to Till the Hun with the 24-hour rule.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still good. It's only been on the ground for a day.
Okay.
So overall, awesome, awesome book. It's more like an advanced primer on sushi than a basic primer.
Yeah.
But still, if you've been checking out the Oishinbo series, definitely pick it up. We got ours from Chapters again. We did the same thing we've been doing. They don't have it. We go to the little kiosk, we order it there, and they ship it to the store for free.
They call you when it's ready to pick up.
Yeah.
You go pick it up.
I still Ta-da. Can't praise that process enough. That is so cool.
Yeah.
I can get almost any book I want that they have access to, and I don't have to pay shipping for it. Total score.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're in Canada, you definitely want to give that a whirl. If you're in the States, use Amazon.
Yeah.
Or Barnes & Noble Borders
maybe
can do the same thing. You can check out one of those places. We still have a couple more Oishinbos to go, I think. We're not quite through the series yet, so we'll have a few more episodes on it. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.